Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is More Speak.
And your girl, Kim.
And today we have the Cinderella story told by LaToya. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So bring us in, Kim. Go ahead and start the story, and then we'll have LaToya finish telling. You tell us about your little broken ducks.
Well, since I've been talking about broken ducks through this whole podcast series, I need to leave it alone, back away from it, and talk about something positive. So, my friend Toya, I've been knowing her, it's been about 16, 17 years.
It's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, it's been a while because my daughter is going to be 15 next week. So, about 17 years. And I watched her actually, and I've been watching her, you know, life story. Then watched it in person, then you watch it behind the scenes, and how everything just changed for her. So I was like, let me reach out to her. And I was talking about that people don't understand. They think all you go through is problems after problems after problem. Can't find a decent man, can't find a decent woman. But in your situation, you had to go through all your frogs or your broken ducks,
yeah.
and you got your prince or your king, and he got his queen. So that's what I wanted to talk about. There is, you struggle and go through some things, and it could be through our own selfish reasons we go through that because we want to go through it or we think that's the person, but we have to go through that to get to our king or queen. So that's why I was like, let me reach out to. Yes, and the wedding y'all had was the Cinderella wedding. So I was like, let me reach out to her and bring her on the podcast. So, that's why, I'm stop talking about broken ducks because, they can be healed, but they broken now. You just have to give them a chance. And I like how you said, Toy, that, you had your picks and your standards, but he didn't fit those boxes, but he's still your king. That's awesome. People be looking for this package, and that may not be your king or queen. What you think, I want tall, me. I used to be tall, dark, and handsome with a beard. And, he got to be over 6'5". And, I'm like, Lord, just give me a man with a good heart that know how to,
You're broken up.
Yeah. So.
Are you going after what you're so used to, a certain stereotype that you just yearn for? Just like, I was that way. I yearn for this certain type that I guess, really, I was not only attracted to, but of course, seems like they just plink, appear, and that's how it normally is. Seems like whatever you attracted to is you kind of just. That's how it goes, and you cross a lot of paths with a lot of people who are still broken and who haven't healed, and you just still searching for this certain ideal person that fits certain, I want to say, physical qualities a lot of us look for. So that's something I have to really I really got away from with when I met from the guy I'm with, my husband. So I just had a certain type. I always had this certain type where this old, charming type of type, I think back in the days, it's called them pretty boys. Mm-hmm. Them pretty boys.
Yeah.
That was my type. I didn't like the goatee, the go-to, but I wasn't attracted to those type of guys at all. It just seemed like those pretty boys always just, that was my type. So, that path kind of I went through some stuff. I was, married before, for 9 years, to my, kid's father, my twin boy's father. So I went through a lot of marriage where I was mostly like the breadwinner. I was the one that was working. I dealt with a lot with drug addictions with him. So I didn't have any problems when it came to, other women, but I had that problem with that drug addiction, and that was just something that was just very draining where I had to deal with that. in that marriage. So I did get out of that marriage. And I just kind of, I think after that marriage, I just kind of just stayed to myself. Like, I was just me and my boys, and I focused on going back to school. I used to bring them to school with me. Like, my professors didn't let me bring them class with me. So that was my focus. I wasn't worried about dating anybody. It was like finding myself all over again, focusing on me and my kids and finding out who I was again, you know? So I didn't allow a lot of people, you know, we get in our relationship, we jump into another relationship. At that moment, for about 2 or 3 years, I spent my time just finding myself after I did file for that divorce. And I just, a huge focus. So once I did that, then I got back into the dating scene. I started dating. And I just learned a lot from my marriage. It really changed me. My previous marriage has changed me a whole lot, because I was kind of like the type, I grew up into a Christian household. I was in a two-parent household. Then you're dealing with somebody who's the opposite, one-parent household, and don't have that foundation as you have, which sometimes it don't have to be all that perfect like that, but that type of stuff kind of collides a lot. There's a lot of conflicts that come into play with that. So I deal with a lot in that situation, in that issue as well. So I kind of found myself back into the dating scene again. And I think just from what I went through, I didn't take no mess. I let people know straight up. When I started with talking to someone, hey, you mess up, you got one chance with me and that's it. Because I just went through so much. I'm dealing with a person that had an addiction. I remember he used to come through the home at night, probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. He's gone, getting high. And I would open up the door and just throw water on his face. That's how I was angry in that marriage. I used to have to force him to go to church. Like, I'd be like, you going to church? And I just found myself forcing somebody to go to church and pushing them and dragging them out the bed to go to church. It was just so much. Like, that marriage was so draining. I was the one that was working. It was just so much. And I grew up in a household where my dad worked. My mom was a homemaker. Like, it was just, but I did that. My father and my parents really made me very independent. So when I went through that, I didn't take no mess. It wasn't. I got into dating scene, it is what, hey, you got one chance with me. Mm-hmm. If you mess up, that's it, you know? And so I dated a couple people doing it, you know, and, you know, every woman, we have our little intuition, it's our gut feeling God gives us. And I, you know, a lot of them, I cut them off, let them mm-hmm. go. And when it came to my husband now, we stayed in the same area, didn't know, but we met online. We knew the same people, didn't know we knew the same people until we kind of connected us social media wise. So we knew a lot of the same connects, and he hit me up online. It was a dating site. And when he hit me up, all I seen was the image that I was like, not mine. I'm not the baseball cap. I seen the shorts and the white t-shirt and the goals in the mouth. And I was like, not my type. And I promise you, when he messaged me, I was like, no. And I let it go for 2 weeks. I did not respond to him. And something was like, I know it's God. Hey, respond to him. Say something to him. There you go again, Toya. You going for a certain type again. Respond. I'm like, I can't know. I'm telling my family members, oh, he got a goes in his mouth. He got, no, this is not for me, you know, because I wanted that pretty boy type. That's what I wanted. The, you know, they just, you know, the image of most, you know, that's what I wanted. That's what I was looking for. So I did something in my fear was like, you know, go ahead and respond back. And I ended up responding back probably like 2 weeks later. And it just started, you know, just start chatting about, you know, a two-parent household in church. So just start going forth like that. It kind of, our relationship moved. I want to say our relationship did. It moved pretty quick. Because we met, I think like in about 4 or 5 months. Because like I say, we do kind of the same people. We had kind of, you know, for about 4 or 5 months, we did end up, you know, basically kind of like moving in together, because he was in the process of buying his home. And, you know, as a woman, we like, what you gonna do? Like, where are we going? Because I'll never forget, my pastor told me, you know, it takes a man no longer than 3 to 6 months, really 3, to know if you're the one. So I needed to know where this relationship was going. And in that process of him, you know, preparing to buy his home, I'm like, you know, I was saying little stuff like, oh, maybe you should keep looking, or maybe you need something bigger, or, you know, like that, you know. So, hey, I know your lease, your place is almost up, and you're in this process. So, hey, stay here until the process of the house get completed. Because like I said, we did stay pretty close in the same area. So that's how that proceeded. And we eventually end up, what I say, about 3 months later, after that 4 month period, we end up 3 or 4 months later, we end up moving into our own home. And then like about four months later, he asked me to marry him. So it went fast, and I know it's different from everyone.
That's what I was just gonna ask, you know. How do you feel yours went?
How do I feel about what?
How do you feel that, you know, that yours went fast and it worked out compared to like many other relationships? Because we've talked to many people and they kind of tell us their story, and you know, some of these, you know, especially online, you know, sometimes it don't work, but yours is like a hidden gem, you know. So it was like you said, it was, you know, you hit the ground running. Yes, you had your time, you know, between the first marriage and then, you know, the proposal and the whole meetup, you know, and everything online. So how do you feel, you know, now looking back, you know, compared to like when you first had the first encounter? How do you feel that now, like, since you know, you kind of judge him just because of his, you know, gold teeth and things like that?
Exactly, yeah. And I can say, even during the dating period, I have dated guys on the dating site, and we have last 2 years, 3 years, and then it was just something, you know, that was it. I think with him, he had so many qualities of my father.
Okay.
And when I say so many qualities of my father, he is a family man. Like, he is just so in tune with his family. When we doing something, he have like 10 of them. All together, it's 10 of them, about 10 of them.
Oh, wow.
All together. So they are a huge family. And so he's a big family guy. And my father, my mom didn't cook at all. Now, I cook. But my father was the main one who cooked in the household, and he cooks just like, you know, he just reminds me so much qualities of my father, and he just, his character, he had, my husband have never yelled at me. Like, his the way his voice, his, he have this, you know, he's always soft spoken, you know, and when I look back at it, this is also a guy who has had troubles in his life. Like, he has a felony. He has been to jail. But just from the growth of his life, now he's, you know, he's been driving for years now and makes good money doing that. And I'm looking at other people that, you know, they get into. I know my previous marriage, like I said, he didn't work, and he had felonies. He had all this, but he used it as an excuse. So when I see somebody who can get out and just make it happen and just make a huge change. So, you know, he told me a lot of that. I think he poured so much out. He didn't hide anything. Mm-hmm. You know, normally previous people, you know, they always, it's something hidden. And my spirit at all. He didn't hide anything from me. Like I say, previous relationship, I always had a good feeling that something wasn't right. I can tell you about somebody before him that I dated for a couple of years, and I had, you know, and I just knew something just wasn't right. Yeah, he was showering me with gifts, taking me on trips, taking my boys places, like, you know, but wasn't that in tune or connected with my boys, but just, you know, he just doing a lot, like, you know, and I was like, oh, this, I love this. I love getting showered with gifts. I love, you know, all this, but, oh, it was something about him, and I discovered what it was, you know? Mm-hmm. So you always have a gut-wrenching feeling with my husband. I never had a doubt. There was never a doubt in my mind or a suspicion of anything, because it seemed like he just, I mean, he was who he said he was, you know, and my spirit agreed with this is who he is, who he said he is, you know? So I think that would make it so, it was so different just from, you know, meeting him then versus previous relationships. I knew that it was something special about him.
Yes, and I love that. That's why I call your story the Cinderella story, Toy. You know, we was around each other, and just a little background. Toy was my original hairstylist, original hairstylist, and my oldest daughter, and kept our hair healthy and everything. But just knowing, like, you found this man that had a mission, and this is what our pastor talked about last week. When you find a man with a mission, it doesn't take much mm-hmm. for a woman to submit to a man with a mission. Not just because he's a man and he can raise his voice. And you, like you said, he never did that, but he had that mission to show you, this is where I'm going. So it wasn't that hard for you to submit yeah. to him. And I just love that story. But it's just, you know, knowing that you said it's gut feeling. So many of us think, you know, that's why I had to step back from myself. And like I was telling you before, just mm-hmm. focus on God and get that intimate relationship. So I want to be able to hear him clearly, because you think you have a gut feeling. And that's probably most of us. We think we're hearing something. We think that's right. But then be like, God, you told me this my person. And it really wasn't him, or somebody we're looking at and running from that really could be. And then, you know, people will say, oh, you missing your blessings because this person probably trying to talk to you. No. If it's meant for me, God gonna bring it around the second time. Right now, he know I'm focusing this relationship with him and trying to be able to hear and understand him more. So how did you know that it wasn't like...
And I remember what you gonna ask me?
No, I was like, how did you know that it really, you know, like it was, you know, God, because most of us are so shell-shocked because we'd have been through the ups and downs and thinking this is where I'm supposed to be.
How did I know? You know what? Mm-hmm. I knew, but I already knew, but how it was confirmed while I was dating him and this person did not know. Mm-hmm. And it was confirmed even after we was married mm-hmm. that we both made the right decision. And when I say before, I have an aunt of mine. She's a minister. And baby, she would prophesy in the meeting. My aunt had prophesied on me and things have came forth. I mean, she prophesied on me about some money coming. It happened. It came. And I know I had just started dating him. We wasn't even 2 months in. And my aunt, she was like, she called me and she was like, this is my mom's best friend, but been knowing me before I was born. Like, that's my aunt. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Toya, I don't know, but I don't know if you are talking to someone or the person is coming. She said, but your husband is coming. She said, girl, you better get married soon. She's like, your husband is coming. I don't know if it's somebody you're with now. I don't know. But I'm telling you, your husband is coming. Get prepared. Get ready for it. And I was like, oh, my God. And she didn't know. Like I said, I had just started talking to him. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I was like, oh, at that point when she said that, I didn't even let her know that I was in a relationship with her. I was, you know, talking to somebody. I just knew, like, when my aunt, that's it. You know, that's a stamp right there. That's it. And even when it happened, when we got engaged, she was like, I told you, I knew it. She stood up at the wedding. I knew it. Came like it was just like so. And then to this day, every time she do her little ministry online and stuff. And when I go in there and just watch her her ministry, she always say, "There go my niece. Let me tell you about my niece. I prophesied on her, and you know nobody but God. It's him. We give him all the glory." But yeah, she told me. She told me then and there. And then after we got married, we went to my church, and my bishop, he had a stand up, and he was like, he prophesied on us and told us, you know what? I want to tell you guys, y'all are blessed. God is gonna bless y'all, and that y'all both made the right decision. He said something in that area like, y'all both, God approved this. Mm-hmm. He approved this marriage.
Yeah.
So it was like already like, you know. Then when it comes to my boys, the best, a great father to them, because like I say, they was conceived from my previous marriage, where I was prophesied on. I lost a boy, and this is the guy that I was having issues with drugs. I mean, just so much going on in that marriage, and God still blessed that marriage, because I thought I couldn't conceive and have kids. Like, I thought it's gonna be hard for me to have kids, because I have lost, had miscarriages and stuff like that while in that marriage. And so my pastor, my bishop, he was like, when I did lose a baby, I carried this baby for 5 months, had the baby naturally, the baby lived for like 3 hours. We had to do a whole eulogy and everything on this baby, with this baby, because he did live. And at that funeral, my pastor prophesied on me and my previous husband at the time. He was like, God's going to bless you guys double for your trouble. It's going to be two juniors running around here. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I was blessed. I lost a boy, and I was blessed double for my child, blessed with two boys. And you would think after all of that, God, you know, that he would get himself together. But God said not so. It took me visiting him, because he was just in and out of jail, and I practically was just raising the boys by myself. He was there around their first birthday, about 2 years old. It was like he was in and out of jail. I was raising them, doing everything on my own, and I made that decision. I had him serve in jail. I went and visited him, and I was like, Lord, if I feel nothing there, because you can write and say all this stuff and just period. You can face to face, written or whatever. You can, a man can say whatever, all this stuff. But once you say, Lord, I need you have to let me know. So I was like, Lord, I go to this visit, and in whatever words he say to me, and if it don't make no sense, I don't have no feelings, that's my sign, I'm getting out of this. And sure enough, I went to that visit. There was nothing he could say that can make me, I was like, mm-mm. Like, I was like, I was just disgusted about everything that he was saying, you know? And I did. I had him serve while he was in jail. And since then, my life is just, you know, it's hard. You're going to go through your struggles after marriage. But, hey, dating is hard. Mm-hmm. But, you will get, I mean, God will bless you. Like, it took me that time. I was really in my word, praying, just, you know, just really dedicated. So, it's a lot.
Yeah, see, and that's what I was telling Anthony. Like, I watched you, but when you the person that's outside looking in, you know, I always was at your house, and I didn't know that you went through all that, because you definitely made it look good. You took care of everything. You kept it together. I did see you work, and you did your hair. And so I was outside looking in. So when he would joke and everything, I would joke, okay, this is cool. This, like, you know.
Yeah.
I never, and it just
you're
never.
So pretty.
Yeah. And you would never imagine what a person goes through.
Look nice.
Yeah, you make it look so good. That's why people say, well, I didn't know you went through what you went through. We clean it up very well. Mm-hmm. And people that has addictions, ego issues, they act like they don't know what they putting you through. You know, and I think everybody, and that's why I'm like, let me get away from the broken ducks and stop calling all these people broken ducks, because we all come some kind of way is broken. But what are you doing to heal yourself, for yourself, not for the other person, but for yourself, and then somebody to come into your life? Because if you still dealing with, you know, like, you know, your ex addictions, what are you putting the other person through, or your ego? People have egos. What are you putting this other person through? But you think you're just being a calm person, you're keeping it to yourself, it's not such a big problem, I do it to myself. But how are you? Are you listening to the other party on how you're treating them and making them feel? And people don't see that until they get their time by themselves. And that's what I had to do. Let me get my time by myself, because because I am, you know, they say a person is who they are based on their history. So everything that you learn or you've been through, that makes you up who you are. You know, you could have came from a good family, but you get into this relationship and it makes you not trust people. It makes you, you know, feel like that you feel like you've, you know, just fat. You feel like you're ugly. You feel like you're not worthy of anything because of those past relationships was building you throughout those years. So once you get to yourself, and I figure that, I can figure out myself and know what I need to give. If I can give myself unconditional love and understanding, I know I can give that to that next person. And that's what, like my son, oldest son said, Mama, you can say that you don't want to be in a relationship, but you do because you're relationship material. That's all you know. But I want to make sure that I'm not taking what somebody said out of, you know, being drunk or on drugs, because I dealt with that at way in the past, about 15 years ago. No, longer than that. But anyway, deal with somebody who was on drugs or somebody was drinking. And I don't want to take that to another person, but I do have trust issues. And that's just been building from childhood. But that's what I'm working on. I'm sitting
there. That's what I was going to get on too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing, like I told you, my approach is when I was dating, hey, this is my standard. You got one chance for me. Soon as I find, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Gotta go. But I also gave them a chance. I didn't bring anything that I went through from a previous relationship into that next relationship, because I feel like if this is what I'm saying, I need to give them a chance. That's why the healing process, you have to make sure you truly heal from that previous relationship. I dated one person. They say dating is supposed to be dating, and I'm not saying sleeping around everybody. You're supposed to be dating multiple people. But when I date, it's a relationship and committed to one person. Mm-hmm. That's why my dating look like, you know. So, because I'm a woman with two kids, I'm trying to, you know, settle down. I'm trying to be out here, you know, running the streets and stuff like that. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm a wife. That's what I, you know. So that's what I went in with, but I never, I left it what it was. I healed. I left where it's at, and I never brought over the past in any new relationship.
So on that subject, that was one of our questions in one of our previous podcasts. So I'm going to ask you that, Toya. So do you think trauma from your past relationship can bleed over into your current relationship or future relationships?
Only if you not heal from it. Only if you allow it. And how much did you allow that trauma to affect you?
Yeah, because I'm the type of person that,
because if you still have if you still need healing from, even if it's childhood healing, whatever it is, that's something that you know, it's going to keep following you until you get, you know, you until you heal from it, until you get help, you know, help in that situation. So like I say, the previous ones, I let them go because of cheating wise when I did get back into the dating scene. But did I expect for that to happen with my husband, who I'm with now? No. I told him the same thing I told the other one. Hey, I get one chance. As soon as you mess up, that's it. Even when he asked me to marry, are you sure? I was like, are you sure? You sure you're done? You good? You sure? And I remember he told me that. Remember, I invited him to move in with me during that process and trying to buy us him buying the house. So he told me, he was like, you know what? I already knew you was a good woman. He said, but I would have never really known who you truly was. And I know shacking up, oh, my mama, oh, baby, she raised Pentecostal the background, all of that. No, but he was like, you know what? I would have never known you was truly the woman that you are if I would have never stayed, move in with you. He said that's when he got a chance to just really see who I was.
Yeah,
that's
what me and Kim talked about before as well. You know, you won't know the person. Like, let's say, you know, you live one place and he lives one place. You don't know each other until you at least have a couple of months together. Because, like I told Kim, you don't know at that point if he snores. You don't know if he has a habit. You don't know if he's lazy. You don't know if he has another woman, you know, until you live together. Mm-hmm. You find out more. You know if you're compatible before you get married. Because let's put it this way. If you get married and you know, you didn't live with him, you wouldn't know half of the things you know now that secured, you know, you wanting to marry, you know, your husband, because you knew, okay, he checks all these boxes. One, two, he cares for you. And then that's how you figured out, you know, he, you know, cares for his family, because he was inviting you to everything. Bring your Yvonne, his family, mm-hmm. you know, people that are fishy, you know, or scandalous will won't invite you to everything. Will be, you know, just invite you to certain things to kind of get your feet wet, you know, but will kind of keep you on the background. And then, you know, when you get married, you don't know, you know, who they actually are at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's true. I do have another question. This is Kim's favorite question.
Oh my gosh. Really?
This of everyone who's been in a long-standing relationship. Is there such a thing as unconditional love?
Oh, definitely. I always say that.
So you do think so?
I always believe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely a thing of unconditional love.
What is unconditional love, let's say, in your heart?
When I say the word, I tear up, because it's like it's a feeling that you can't really explain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
it's like your other half, pretty much. You know, you.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel with my fiance. You know. I feel like, okay, what I can't do, she's willing to do, and then we come together and we meet as one. Whereas, you know, certain relationships, it's only on one side. So, like, on your first relationship, you were the breadwinner, you know, he wasn't, you know, holding up to his part. You know, I feel every man should have a job. Whether your significant other makes more, a man should still have a job. You know, just to help out, you know, even if it's, you know, a quarter of what you make. I think it's always been like that. So, I mean, he needs to help with something, you know, pay one bill, something mm-hmm. Something has to, you know, help out, you know, whereas, you know, certain relationships, if a woman makes a certain amount of money, the man feels, oh yeah, I'm just going to get I'm just going to lay around and do whatever. You know, I don't think it should be that way. You know, I think either both work, if you make that decision to both work, or the man should work and take care of the woman. And if she wants to be a homemaker and has kids, fine. And that's, you know, that's basically her job. If that's what she wants to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's how I was with him. Like, okay, during that time, we met around COVID. So, you know, it was very hard for us to go out on, I mean, when everything was shut down. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for us to go on dates and things like that. So it was mostly like I say, we stayed pretty close, Carolyn apartments next to each other. So when he came in, even when he in the process of buying the house, he came in right away. Oh, I'm gonna help you pay half of your rent. And I was in the process of trying to leave one of my jobs. Even then, we did finally move in together into our own home. He told me I didn't have to pay no bills. Like, hey, you know how big a relief that was? All these years, I have been working my way out, going to school, taking care of my boys. I don't get any financial. I don't get no child support for my kids. They 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Never got a lick of child support. Oh, that's another subject we need to talk about. I feel like a father who's around and active. That's one. I have a hard feeling on that because I feel like, but we're gonna, that's another subject to get to. But yeah,
we definitely got to talk about that. That look, Kim is smiling. You can't see her, but she is smiling from ear to ear because we just spoke about that like right before you got on the call. Where, and she said she was never going to talk about child support again, but. Guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to make you talk about it.
Yeah. A great active father. No, I don't agree with it. And mine was not active nowhere. No. Mm-hmm. But no, I raised mine without it. I had no choice. I didn't get anything. So it was such a huge relief when he was like, he paid all the bills. But that independence in me, I'm like, when I started back working, I'm like, I got the light bill. I got the gas.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to chip in one way or another. I mean, something.
Yeah, I cannot. I can't, you know. So, I have my little ones I want to still pay. If you want to pay the whole rent and the car notes and the insurance, okay. But, that's just how I am, you know. So, so that was just huge relief off load with that I did it so many years and somebody was willing to just, you know, come in and, you know, pick up the load, you know, of everything. And like I say, it just flowed. It's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have this story. I thought it would take me forever to get, I knew it would happen. I mean, but I thought it would be longer than what it was, because I'm like, Lord, even doing a date, I'm like, oh my God, like, what is it? Like, what is gonna happen? That was on a date, like, what's gonna happen? Because I'm like, I'm meeting all these knuckleheads, and they just, you know, you go through your little sad moments, it is what it is, but it passed, and you know, that's it. So I'm like, no. So, I've been through it. So I get it. But like I say, it's all about you have to heal. You can't jump. Can't allow nobody to even rush you into something that you're not really ready for. My husband has never been married. Like, this is his first marriage. This is my second. Mm-hmm. So this is all new for him, you know. And he knew.
So, mm-hmm. And what I love about it though, Toy, because like people, you know, when they say you missing your blessing or, you know, you let something pass by. And my thing of it is, you know, I say that prayer, God, if something that's supposed to be in my life while I'm going through this period transitioning, like I told Anthony, I am purging, like they do the crawfish, as I call it. I'm purging myself. Mine, body, my soul, everything. You know, I have my days, like I make it through after service, make it to Tuesday, then I have a weak moment, but I made it all the way to today. Mm-hmm. And it just went crazy. But, you know, I constantly, you know, trying to understand what God's trying to tell me. But in our situation, like we've been knowing each other for years. I'm over your house, you know, cook, you know, all my kids and, you know, all the older kids, you know them, they know you. And we lost touch with everything that was going on. And you was in church. Yeah. I knew church. I was in and out of church, you know, living, I don't know what kind of life, but in and out of it. So you kept moving forward and kept focusing on God. But look how it came back around that I'm focusing, you know, putting that 100% focus. Because like I said, if I could serve man, I can definitely serve God. And then, boof, we come back together and start talking like we never missed a beat. So that's how you know. And I'm thinking this is what God wants me to understand. You know the people that's supposed to be in your life because they're going to come back around when you getting your stuff together. That's how you know. And if there is a man that I probably shunned away or didn't look at or didn't pay attention to, if that's meant for me and God wants that in my life, it's going to come back around. Just like, I mean, we just got on the phone and started talking like we never missed a beat.
Pay attention to those comebacks too.
Yeah, I got warned about that by three older women. So.
I'm telling you, I had previous ones for us to come back. The mistake you already made, and I told you not to make. You got one chance. They try to come back.
That's what I have my talks every morning. God, when I start thinking about something, I go with my, I'm like I told Anthony, I'm reading this book by Joyce Myers, Battlefield of the Mind. Man, and if I tell you, I had to go back and read chapter one, and I was catching it like, this is why this person, Mary, acted like she act. This is why John act like he act, because of their past. But then if you constantly let that past come back around, you got to look at what that past did to you. You know, was it a good thing or was it a negative thing? So you're not allowing people to come back in your life. And like I had friends, but I know they how their life was going and still going. And they older than me. I'm like, I'm going to let y'all stay to the side. I speak, but I'm going to keep going because we not, you know, going down the same path. You can't encourage me as a single woman and you a married woman because you're talking about things that single women should be doing and you're married. Like, let me just keep that. Yeah. But that's the positive part about you, because that's why I watched you go through it and you still was faithful. And you ended up God giving you everything back 100-fold. And that's what a lot of people need to understand. Because you hear married people now, you know, we married, but he don't do this, he don't do this. You didn't even have to ask this man. It was in works for you to be him to put you in the house. It was all in the works of God. So that's why I said I'm focused. I'm mentally focusing, physically focusing, and making sure I get everything in check with me. Yes, I'm not going to be all the way there. That's what Anthony keeps saying. You might see a little duck with a tuxedo on. He's dragging his feet. But as long as that duck is trying to fix himself for himself, I can accept that. You know, if you can fix yourself, I can fix myself, because we're not going to be 100, but at least when we come together, we can be 100. That's awesome for me.
Yeah. So, Toya, any questions for us?
Let's see. Well, I want to go back to what Kim just said. When you say fix, how much do you want him to fix while he with you? When you say fix, give me some of your what are you willing to take as a fix?
That was a question we were talking about already.
Ooh, you an air sign like Anthony. Y'all tear me up. his mental. That's number one. Because we all fight, you know, a lot of things, you know, that's going on. But if I can take it. Like, this is my thing, PPL. And I hate talking when he says it's PPP long. But PPL, protect, provide, and to love me. You know, if you can do that, I can get out there and hustle for mine. And Toy, just like you, you know how many jobs I worked and took care of me.
You said fix his mental. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to be with somebody who still have to fix his mental state of mind?
I want them to get themselves together. I want to step back a little bit, you know, and if I need to, like, you know, say, hey, let's go together, like, to church, or let's go.
Mental state of mind. If they're not there, that's what I dealt with my previous marriage. He's still messed up. I don't even know where he at. That mental state. Because once my husband, like I say, he's been to jail. He's been to prison. You wouldn't even know it by the way his character is. By the way, he don't have that mentality of that. You know what I'm saying? He don't. It's not there. You know what I'm saying? So I have never seen anything that I would say, oh, I can tell, you know, when it comes to the mental state. No, I don't see any of that. I'm not willing to go into something and have them fix their mental state. And that's why I usually personally, because I've been through it, and I think that's the, I think you got to always already have that fixed, and that stuff can come from childhood stuff. Like that's counseling. That's a lot of stuff. That, you know, and you have to fix yourself too. If you have if you have your own issue, that's too much. That's too much. I don't want to use the word toxic. That's just too much.
Too much baggage coming into the new relationship.
Too much baggage.
Yeah, because that's what me and Anthony talked about. A dude tried to talk to me, and red flags went on. You know, I was just listening, and he bragged about he makes six figures. I don't care, dude, what you make and all this kind of stuff. But I knew something mentally was going on with him because he was talking about his job. And he was like, you know, really vocal about it. And I said, do you have anger issues? This dude said, I'm going to have to call you back. And got off the phone, sent me a book saying, oh, this is red flags because you're judging me and you don't know the problems I have with my job. I said, well, yeah, listen, but you getting angry and saying they're not going to micromanage you and all that. Dude, you have some deep issues, because any employer gonna ask, what are you doing and what's going on if you miss, you get supposed to see 39 patients and you only seen 35. What happened in that time frame? So I was like, now that's some issues, but he never wanted to admit to it. So I'm like, you know what? Let me step back. Or you just met me and, oh, you ready to be my wife? And I said, well, let me change what I asked you, God. I wanted somebody that can pray with me and pray for me. And this dude is an associate pastor at a church. And I'm like, hey, something else is going on there. And you're right. It's like stepping back. If you meant for me, you're going to get some stuff together. And then you will resurface if you meant for me. But I like, you know, what I went through. And I think, Tori, you was around with one of those relationships. I was, you remember Mike?
I think we just getting up in age where I'm going to need for you to be healed.
Yes.
I need to be healed now. I can't go into, I don't think that if I've been through so much, I feel like, and I thank God, because I've been through so much. If I've been through all of these previous relationships, why would God bring that back to me?
I like that.
If I already went through that, why would he, there ain't no blessing for him to bring that back to me again, dealing with somebody else. Ooh. How is it a blessing? That's not of God. I'm going to need for them. We all had, I'm going to need for them to already have themselves together.
There you go, Anthony. Already. So she just answered that. Well, I need to make sure they got themselves together before I.
That was for you.
I know, because you keep talking about the broken duck with may have a tuxedo on, but let's just check his mental.
The tuxedo better be pressing. And no extra luggage. That's what you need. That's exactly what you need.
Yeah, he like my big brother.
I'm not saying the perfect. I mean, there's no perfect person. But you don't want to go and deal with what you were dealing with before. I mean,
Yes.
That mind is a battlefield. That's why you're reading that book. I can't take no more battlefields for the mind.
Yeah.
Not in my 40s, not in my, no, we too up in age, we dealt with that. No, God would not send that back.
Yes, yes.
You said send that back to the kitchen?
You can work on them and get them together. You can get them together.
Mm-hmm.
Toy, you said send it back to the kitchen?
That's not send them back.
Go ahead and reheat that and recook it.
Now, what do you think about that,
Ann? The mental state? I mean, I dealt with it because I dealt with a, you know, a... let's say psycho person that, you know, had issues in her past. And I mean, I thought they were gone until, you know, we got married and more things came out, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I had to deal with myself as well, because, you know, before I got into this relationship, you know, with my fiance, I felt like some of the things from that marriage was gonna trickle over into this one. So I mean, we took it pretty slow. We ended up, you know, not moving in together immediately. We kind of, you know, I handled my stuff on my end, she handled her stuff, because she already had twin daughters, you know, and their father was not in their life, you know, until like way later, you know, at the points where they're high points pretty much. But I know when I came into my relationship, I had to come clean and drop everything else I was doing, you know, clubs, and, you know, we still went to clubs, but, you know, it wasn't as much, you know, less drinking. I mean, you know, when I went out with my friends, we were all go, you know, drinking till, you know, not till we pass out, but, you know, drunk enough. But I felt like I had to make sure that it was just, I was going to be focused on just her and not bring that baby mama drama into the relationship, which, I mean, it did still come, because she was crazy and she didn't do everything she was supposed to. So I just did what I was supposed to. I made sure she, you know, put child support, so my kids were supported at least. You know, even though, you know, she kind of brainwashed them and kind of told them many things, and I didn't get to see them as often as I should have. I mean, now one is 18, the other one's 21. So, I mean, now they can do whatever the heck they want. They don't have to come see me. Yeah. They can see me if they want to, but it's not like I ever wanted to force them, because I felt like if I would force the issue, she would just make it worse, because, you know, they would come back and tell her something, and, you know, I get the baby mama calling me, crying, you know, you said this, you did that. So I just, you know, I knew that I had to clean myself up, make sure I was 100%, you know, committed those to my ones, relationship.
Those type of baby mamas. That was the ones I have problems with, those type of baby mamas.
Oh, yeah.
Because don't you know how we're going to talk about it. Because, yeah, I feel like, if there's a good father, he's around. I do not believe, and mind you, I'm like, I wish mine had a good one. I wish he was involved and active and was around. Why would I do that? If he putting out, still, you know, doing financially and active, why would I do that? So I don't, women like that, that know, and God have blessed you. I feel like I was one of the good ones. Mm-hmm. I didn't get blessed with that. Mm-hmm. But thank God for what he blessed me with now.
Yeah, it's funny. She was she was really avid about going to church. And, you know, I did the thing, you know, when we got back together at one point, I started going to church with her, you know, but I saw she didn't change. You know, you can't be with someone who is going to church, but they don't live by the word. Like, you're supposed to forgive and forget and move on. And, you know, she would still bring up like old stuff. So I was like, no, you know, this is not going to work out. So I excused myself out of the relationship. And I was like, no, I mean, no Christian that believes in God is going to continue doing stuff in the past, you know, from the past, and bringing it up just because I was with someone else at one point. And, you know, I thought it was too much. So, I mean, I feel you have to cleanse yourself of the last person before you decide to move forward and make sure it's out of your system. Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, it wasn't out of my system when I first started the relationship with my fiance. So that's why I had the back and forth, you know, a couple times. And once I knew that her situation was never going to change, I was like, no, I can't do it anymore. It's either I got to change or she's got to change. So I just dismissed myself.
Yeah. And see, that's the way, Toy, when I said I had to purge myself, and I don't know why I was using the crawfish to do it, but but that's what it reminds me of. You know, I'm detoxing everything, my body, my mind, everything, you know, spiritually, to just follow God. And when I did that, right, when I started doing that, things started happening. And my ex, you know, my little boys, you know, with his dad and the situation that we went through, I said, I never talked to this man again. I said, you know, my son is old enough. He has a phone, because he put us kind of through some hell. And I even showed him the podcast now, but he put us through hell at the end. But I was like, he can eat. Anybody that I don't deal with, I want them to eat, but they can't eat at the same table I eat at, you know? And when I tell you, when God started moving, and I knew it was him started moving a little bit, I think we met to drop my son off for him to take him shopping. He responded. He sent me a text. I'm gonna pick him up, take him school shopping. I ain't say nothing back. Then I was like, okay, maybe 3 days later, he didn't say nothing back. It was still a little selfish thing we was going through. And when we had the conversation, I dropped my son off, we've been talking ever since. And I told him, and I got off my chest. I was like, you know what? You don't have to answer to me ever again. You have to answer to God what you did. But I forgive you. I can't hate you, because we made something that I love so much. If I say I love this little boy, but I hate his dad like that, and he's a splitting image, that's a problem for me. So we talked, we laughed. We had two long conversations where we sat out and talked. And that's what I want my son to see. You know, no matter who I get with, you have that respect for your father. Your mom's showing you that, you know, we can get along and we're not in the household. We forgave each other. We moved on, and it freed me, even though I was over the situation, because the world goes around. You got to move on. But I wasn't totally recovered, because I suppressed all that down because of everything that I went through. I had to pick up the pieces and keep moving. But now I can say I totally recovered, because I'm not going to allow it to be in a relationship like I was with him. He was a good dude. We laughed, we talked, but his ego was a problem, you know? And when people have an ego issue, they start belittling people, and they don't think they do that. Always, I'm just playing. That's the way I joke. No, dude, I am your woman. I'm someone you don't play with, dude. You go play with your friends like that. But this is someone you lay with. You're supposed to show respect to. And yeah, we can joke, but to certain things you don't joke about. Respect me like I respect you. But we had that conversation, Toy, and I tell you, the peace that I feel right now is awesome. And like I told him, I don't have no hate for you. And the woman you with, you know, she came in the middle of our relationship, well, almost a trickling in. I wish y'all the best. I don't wish you no ill will. But I want our son to understand what it's like to be a Christian man. And when he grow up, he can say, I seen my parents. They had a civil conversation. They were civil parents. Not that, oh, I don't want to talk to this sucker. I don't want him to know where I live. I don't want him coming around here. I don't want him at the school. I'm just keep this information. All I want is child support. But, you know, now it's like, y'all can be in his life. I don't have an issue with that. I don't have, as long as you know that that's my baby and y'all not going to do anything to harm him. Whatever you have to answer to God, you have to answer to God. But I'm totally healed from this situation. And I just want to move on, because you can't say you over something if you never recovered from it. You can say you moved on, but you never recovered. So I feel like God brought that, and he needed to do that for me to move, continuously move on with my life.
All right. This was a great podcast. We went over 30 minutes.
I like dealing with Toy. Toy make you get down in it.
All right, so I'm gonna close it out right here, Toya. So thank you for coming on and being on our podcast. I'm sure Kim is going to bring you back.